Today we're going to be speaking about the way we are menachta ribs. And 2 times ago we mentioned that there are 2 parts to the nikra ribs. One has to do with things that are cut out along the ribs, 3 sets of nerves along the ribs, and then also about some that possibly take out some things around the ribeye. Today we're going to speak about those 2 parts with a little more detail. And our discussion is going to bring out also differences, or these are one of the differences between how nikra is done in Eretz Yisrael as compared to in the United States. Okay, so our first is what we had spoken about last time called the chuti de kafli. The kafli are in the back of the animal where the chelev is, and the chelev itself is asur, but the chuti de kafli, the chutim that come out of that come from there, those are asur midrabbanan, as the Gemara says, that there are no chutim that are asur midraisa, or chutim of chelev can only be only asur midrabbanan. And so there are chuti de kafli. And the Gemara says is that there are 5 of them. There are 5 chutim, and that they have all kinds of branches. They have a number of branches of them. The Gemara interestingly says that there are 3 chutim on the right side, and each of those 3 chutim have 2 branches, and there are 2 chutim on the left side. Each of those has 3 branches. Okay, and of course, it sounds a little hard to understand at first. In Sichas Chulin, he has a pshat based on the location of the kidneys, and one kidney is higher than the other, and why that affects there being 3 on one side and 2 on the other side. But for our purposes, there are 5 chutim altogether, 3 on the right and 2 on the left, and with their extended branches. And Rashi tells us over there, which is basically what everybody agrees to, Rashi tells us that these chutim go from the shedra, from the spine, all the way down to the chaza, the breastbone, the sternum. So, which is this, and that's understood, the documentary brings it. What that means is that they run along the last 3 of the ribs. His words are the shalosh hatzlos hatachtonios. The last 3 of the ribs, in this case, they're the back 3 of the ribs. Okay, they're nerves that run along these 3 ribs. Now, because I had mentioned that that's the practices. We take out the nerves that run along the last 3 ribs. I had mentioned that we take out, that the Gemara says there are 3 on the right side and 2 on the left side. In fact, we do 3 on both sides. And that's the acronym say that that's just because too confusing for people to remember which is the right side and the left side. Not so we can tell the difference between one and the other of the animal, and therefore we take out 3 on both sides. Now, when you look at it at first, Dr. Marcia seems to be very clear. The last 3 ribs, that these are nerves that run alongside the last 3 ribs. They're called intercostal nerves. If they run along the last 3 ribs from the spine all the way down to the chaza, to the sternum. But it turns out that's there's a little bit of ambiguity to that. Because, as we know, kosher animals have 13 ribs then. And as I mentioned, the way the animals are cut is that the 13th rib is left with the achorayim, with the hind quarters. We'll talk a little more about that later. The 13th rib is left with the hind quarters, and the first 12 ribs go with the forequarters on the kosher side, and the 13th rib goes on the hind quarters, which is so that's not kosher. So, did the documentary, when he said the last 3 ribs, did he mean literally the last 3 ribs, 11, 12, and 13? Or did he mean the last 3 ribs that we sell that are on the kosher side, which is 10, 11, and 12? Where are these 3 chutim that go down? So, different communities have different minhagim at that. Seemingly, the simplest reading would be that he means 11, 12, and 13. And in Eretz Yisrael, that's what they do. They only worry about these chutim that are on 11, 12, and 13. Well, and since 13 goes with the not kosher side, so they only have to take out the chutim on 2 ribs, the 11th and the 12th rib. As opposed to in America, we follow the other minhag, which is to say that there are moment the last 3 kosher ribs, the last 3 ribs that are on the kosher side of the animal, and therefore we take out the chutim on the 10th, 11th, and 12th rib. So we're more machmir than there in this case, in that we take out from the 10th rib also, while they take out just from the 11th and 12th. Now, there's also, they take out blood vessels. I'm not sure why, but running right alongside these nerves are 2 blood vessels along each side of the nerves, and those are cut out together. Now, these, the ones that we cut out are in the forequarters, as I keep mentioning, they're in the forequarters of the animal, at least 10 and 11, and 12, 10, 11, 12 are in the forequarters, and we know that the chela, by and large, is in the hindquarters. is in the hindquarters. So Tosfos points out, he says, you know what? Since most people are used to this idea that chalev is always in the hindquarters, and there's mainly issues just of dam in the forequarters, he says, people should be aware, or should be alert, that when they're going to buy forequarters, they buy ribs, there's potential chalev, or chalev midrabanan over here, yonik v'nechalev, in those ribs also from Yisrael. Now, the Gemara says that when you get out these chamishi chutti b'tafli with their branches, and the Gemara says, tzarech boi l'chtuti basar, you have to dig in and probe around to make sure you got out all the branches. All the branches, most, again, it's three chutim, but each chut, some of the chut, there are five chutim, three in one side, who knows, and each of them has two or three branches in them. So you have to make sure you get them out. Now, the question is that, gives the impression that they're deeper in, they're hard to find, they're dug in. So why, what if they are stuck in, dug in deeper, why do you have to get them out at all? Didn't we see last time that the din is that the only chel which is usher is chel which is al haksalim, it's only which is on top of flesh, but if it's on top of the muscle, if it's in the muscle, then there's no isser. They're not usher at all. So why do you have to boil the chtuti basar? Why do you have to go dig in and scrape it and find them out when they shouldn't be usher altogether if they're deeper in? So in fact, Tosfos is that kasha. Tosfos gives two answers to that question. One is, he says, is that maybe these are chutim that we saw this time. We saw that when the animal, two times ago, we saw that when the animal moves around, the tarbid, the tuzimusna, there's some fats that generally are covered, but depending on how the animal walks, they may become uncovered. So he says, maybe these chutim, maybe the branch of these chutim, there are parts that are uncovered when the animal walks around, and that's why you have to get them out. Another answer that he gives is that these chutim are only asim darban anyhow, as we keep mentioning, they're only asim darban, and chutim can't be, chutim chelev can't be asim darban, so they're only asim darban, and when the Chacham said that you shouldn't eat them, they said not only should you eat the chutim, the part that's exposed, but if most of the chut is exposed, then midraban, you have to get out the part that's not exposed also. Okay? Midraban, you have to get that out. Now, that's Tosfos' two answers. The Rashba says, no, it's true, the part that's deeper in, that's covered up by the muscle, is mutter. And boilach tut basra, means you just have to make sure you know where it is. By probing around and finding all those chutim, then you know you've gotten the chutim de kafli, and you've gotten the part that's usher, and the part that's mutter you can just leave behind, it's not a problem. It just teaches, helping you in finding what you're supposed to have, that you try boilach tut basra, that's what Rashba says. The Ramah brings that shita. Now it brings that yesh mekilim for the part that's in the meat. You don't have to dig in for that part. And what says the tovla hashma, it's good to be machmer. Now that we know that piece of information and understand what Rama's talking about there, just a little bit of a question, which is, what are the chutim and kafli we're saying are these intercostal nerves that run along the ribs? What are the branches? What are the parts that branch off from that? They're usher. So seemingly, if you look at a picture, it seems like that would be referring to either is there are lateral branches, branches that stretch out, are called the lateral branches of thoracic nerve. Those are higher up near the spine. And then there are lower branches that are called the lateral cutaneous branches. Those are lower down, sort of in the middle of the ribs. Okay, and those branch out. And those branch out, they go through the ribs, so to speak, like between the ribs to the other side of the rib, like so to speak, closer to the hide of the animal. And those would seemingly be the branches that the Gemara is talking about, that are usher also. Well, the question is, nobody takes those out. Now, everyone takes out the long intercostal nerve, but what about the part that sticks into that other part, the branches go out? The Gemara says there are three on each. Three on one side, two on the other side, and each one of them has a bunch of branches. And in fact, there are all these branches. So why don't we take them out? So it could be maybe we'll be mako, like the Rashi said. The Rama says toiv hachmir. He didn't say mechuyev to do that. So maybe we don't take them out because we're not being machmir for that Rashi. Maybe, or maybe these are not the chutim de kafli. Maybe these are just these themselves are the branches of the chutim de kafli. And the real chutim are someplace else. Not very clear exactly what's going on and why we don't take out the branches that dig in. Again, according to Tosfos L'chaira, those branches should be included also. Okay, so now we've talked about that part of the rib, the part that's on, so to speak, on the inside of the rib, along the 10th, 11th, and 12th rib, that we cut these pieces out. Now we move to another part, which is a little more contentious, that's around the ribeye, which is to say is, so we're going to, we're going to take a few steps before we get to the actual Shiloh that there is. But let's do a little background first. We saw there's a lot of, there's different places where Chaylev could be, and the Ramah says, as I mentioned, that the Chaylev, by and large, is in the Achraim, in the hind quarter of the animal. The Ramah himself gives a few exceptions, and we'll talk about those in future times, but by and large, they're in the hind quarters. So the Shach brings, from Masas B'Yamin, that there's a minute, to cut off the 13th rib and consider it to be part of Achraim. And the Shach says, I don't know what the basis for that is. What's wrong with the 13th rib? There's nothing. There's no chaylev on the 13th rib. I don't know why they should cut it off and why they should consider part of Acharayim. The chaylev is all in the bag. He says, but no, that's what people do. And the Acharayim explain that seemingly the pshat is that the 13th rib is brushes up alongside chaylev that's in the back of the animal, and therefore the minig is instead of making sure you have to be so careful on how you be menachal and make sure there's no fat on it and this and that, they just decide let's keep the 13th with the achorayim and not run into problems. That's the reason. That's the basis for that minig to be cut off the 13th rib, which in fact everybody does. Everybody considers the 13th rib as part of the achorayim. Now let's move to another thing. There's a very short tshuva in the Yehuda. It's maybe 50 words the whole tshuva. Okay, and he says like this. He says, you want to know about the meat between the 11th and the 12th rib. Do you know this for sure that there's chaylev in there? He says a bunch, in his 50 words, he says a few times that it's obvious that there's chaylev in there. So by us, what we do is we put that as part of Acharayim. And unless we have someone who's really skilled, who knows what he's doing, basically otherwise we don't use it because there is for sure, of course, there's chaylev in that part of it. Now, nobody who reads this tshuva thinks that he really means chaylev between the 11th and 12th. There's no chaylev. There's not even a possibility of chaylev between the 11th and 12th. There's the chut of the kafu we just spoke about, but it's in a lot of other places also, and those are not hard to take out. Nobody thinks that he really means the 11th and 12th. So what does he mean? What he means like this. In order to understand that, we turn to another Gemara. Here the Gemara says is that kosher animals have 11 ribs, and, which is halacha lemaisa, to say is, if most of the ribs of an animal are broken, the animal is considered a trefa, and therefore if 6 ribs are broken, the animal is a trefa, because now most of the ribs are broken. Okay, well, that sounds nice. 6 is more than half of 11, but the problem is we all know that the animals have 13 ribs. So what are they going to talk about when it says that if an animal has only 11 ribs, and therefore if 6 of them are broken, the animal's trefa? What does that mean? To get the answer for that, we turn to yet another Gemara. And that Gemara is not talking about Trefus at all. That Gemara is talking about that when a person brings a carbon shlamim in the Beis HaMikdash, then the Kohen gets the chazav shayk. Okay? For our purpose, what we care about, the Gemara says, what's the chazav? Which part, how much of the animal is included in the chazav in the breastbone? So the Gemara gives all kinds of descriptions for what's included. All kinds of, it gives like a whole map of which part of the animal is considered to be the chazav. And the Gemara says, among the things the Gemara says, it includes the two front ribs also. So the two front ribs are considered part of the chazit. So that teaches us that there are some ribs that are different than others. There are some ribs that, at least in this halacha for Karban Shlamim, are considered part of the chazit and not considered part of the ribs per se. Now we have this Gemara tells us that two ribs are considered part of the chazeh. Now we have an opening to tell us when the other Gemara says that there are only 11 ribs, is because there are some ribs that don't count. There are some ribs that they look like ribs, but they're not the same. They're different than the other one somehow, and they don't count. So there's a machlokes, what the Gemara means when it says there are two ribs that are part of the chazeh. Tosfos learns there are two ribs on each side of the animal that are considered part of the chazeh for a total of 4 ribs. So, according to Tosfos, things are, back to our other Gemara, things are pretty straightforward. The two front ribs on each side are considered part of the chazah. That means 11 ribs behind, and those are the 11, so to speak, real ribs. And when the Gemara says there are 11 ribs, and if 4 of them are broken, it means those 11 ones, what we would call rib number 3 till rib number 13. And the first two ribs are considered part of the chazah. They don't count as, so to speak, as slavs. Rashi learns, Rashi does not want that. Rashi comes when the Gemara says that the chazal includes two ribs. That means one rib on each side for a total of two ribs. But there's only one rib on each side. So according to Rashi, the Gemara has taught us that there's such an idea that there are ribs that don't count. And Sichas Chulin gives explanations of what's different about this rib. How the front rib or the front two ribs different than the other ones, about as far as having how thick they are and have marrow and so on. There are different details, physical differences between them. And therefore, according to Rashi, the Gemara taught us that the first rib is different and is considered part of the chaza. Hasn't yet. So now, according to Rashi, there's still 12 other ribs. So according to Rashi, will learn that the 13th rib is the one that also doesn't count. The first one is different. The 13th has some property similar to the first. So according to Rashi, the Gemara about carbon shlamim teaches us that there are some ribs that, so to speak, are different and they don't count. According to Rashi, that Gemara is only pointing to the first one. But now we have another Gemara that tells us there are 11 ribs. That means rib 2 to 12. So according to Rashi, the 11 ribs that there are ribs 2 to 12. And according to Tosfos, the 11 ribs that we count are the ribs 3 to 13. Okay, with that information, now that we understand that, we now can go back to the Noi B'Yuda. Remember, the Noi B'Yuda said that the fat that's on the 11th rib, meaning towards the back yam or from the 11th rib, that fat is for sure Asher. So we understand now that when he says it's on the 11th rib, that when he says, when he says it's the fat that's on between the 11th and 12th rib, he doesn't mean the 11th rib the way we would count it starting from the first rib. He means the 11th halachic rib, but the din considers to be the 11th rib. So according to Rashi, that means the next thing you would be saying is the fat that's between what we call the 12th and the 13th rib, which he's calling the 11th and the 12th rib, between the 12th and the 13th rib, that fat is considered chalav and should be considered part of acharayim. And if that's what that reading of the Nebuchadnezzar, that's what the Chassam Sarif said. The Chassam Sarif said, that's what the Nebuchadnezzar meant. The Nebuchadnezzar meant is, he didn't mean between the fat between the 11th and the 12th. It's Pasha that's not Chalim. He meant was fat that's between the 12th and the 13th rib. When he said 11th and 12th, he meant the 11th halachic rib and then the one that's behind it. So he meant what we would call the 12th and the 13th rib. The Chassam Sarif says, that's what the Nebuchadnezzar says. But he disagrees with him. He says, that's what the Nebuchadnezzar meant. He was referring to fat that's over there. But there's no such thing. There is no chaylev over there. There's nothing wrong with that. So that's what the Nebuchadnezzar is trying to say, that was usher. But it's not truth. There's really nothing wrong with that chaylev. That's how the Chassam Sofer understands the Nebuchadnezzar. But the Nebuchadnezzar's son, let's say for Shivas Tzion, Shivas of his son, says, when his father said the 11th rib, he wasn't going to Shitas Rashi, who says that the ribs are 2 to 12. He was going in Shitas Tosfos. Shitas Tosfos was that the first two ribs are the ones that don't count, and the 11 halachic ribs are the ribs from 3 to 13. And therefore, when his father said that after the 11th rib is chelev, he was referring to what we would call the 13th rib. So when he said that after the 11th rib is chelev, the fat that's there is considered chelev, he meant after the 13th rib. Okay? And according to that, Nebuchadnezzar is basically just telling us the minute that we saw from the Shach, which is that we cut off, if the 13th rib gets sold with Achorayim because it has Chalav onto it. So he's telling us, yes, that what's after what he calls the 11th, what we call the 13th, is considered Achorayim, and you shouldn't keep that rib. You should cut it off and put it with Achorayim. He's basically just repeating, telling us what the Shach says, and that would read well. What the Shiva is seeing, what his son is saying, is what reads well in the Tshuva. I mean, it's a little Tshuva, and the Tshuva is, he's saying as if this is obvious information. He's not saying any big tradition over here. He's just telling us, yeah, everybody knows that the last rib is the one we consider to be Acharayim. He's calling it 11th, because it didn't, according to Rashi, it's considered the 11th. I'm saying, according to Tosfos, it's considered the 11th. That's what he's calling it. That, but it's like saying nothing, no big chidushim. And the truth is, even more so, is if you look at the, you have to bear in mind that Shiva Sin, that's the Nebuchadnezzar's son, replaced his father. He took over his father's job as the Rav of Prague after his father died. And someone wrote him a tshuva. The person who wrote to him said to him, you know, we see in your father that he wrote that the 11th, between the 11th and 12th, he said, we don't do that. Nobody does that. And what did maybe the son respond to that? He was like, yeah, of course you're right, nobody does that, and my father meant this, and this is what he meant. But forget about the answer. The whole way he responded to it was, of course nobody does that. Which is, his father was saying, it was partial that this thing is usher. And then his son, who took the rug in the same city right after him, didn't know anything about it. makes us think that the psalm is correct. His father wasn't referring to fat between the 12th and 13th rib. His father was between fat between after the 13th rib. And that he was saying, just repeating over what everybody knows, which is that the 13th rib gets old with faith. If that's all, that's reasons to think that like the Nebu did this on. On the other hand, it's a little hard to understand because the Nebu didn't just say that after the 11th rib, well, the 11th, what we'd call the 13th, is considered Chalev. He said it's between the 11th and the 12th. Now, if he means, like the Chassam Sofer read it was, that he means between the 12th and the 13th, then we understand what he's talking about. But when he said, if he means between the 13th and the next one, well, there is no next rib. When he said between the 11th and the 12th, he meant between the 13th and the 14th rib. There is no 14th rib. Now, there are what do they call lumbar vertebrae on the top of the animal's back, along its spines, are like bones that stick out horizontally, okay? That are like small bones that are sticking out horizontally. So, I guess you could call those and say that as if that's like the 14th rib. One of those is like the 14th rib, but they're nothing like ribs. It's hard to imagine him saying between the 13th and the 14th rib is chaylev. There is no 14th rib. So when he says 11th and 12th, which we're translating to mean is 13th and 14th, doesn't really read so well according to the way Shiva is saying. It reads well. It means between the 11th halachic rib and the 12th rib, meaning the last halachic rib and the rib that's afterwards, which we, for lack of better, we call the 12th, that would make sense. According to the way the Shiva is reading it, doesn't read so well. Okay? Just as a part of that note of there is that Chassam Sofer's grandson in Shevet Sofer said that had my grandfather known that the Shiva Sinan, you know, how he claimed his father, he would have agreed with that shot in their music. Okay, yes or no? Now, so far we were explaining two ways of understanding the Nebuta. Either that the fat, any fat that's from the 13th rib and on is usher, or that between the 12th and the 13th rib also. We gave these two explanations, but we used it based on a machlekes having to do with carbon shlamim and the din of hilchos treifas of how we count ribs. There would nothing get in hilchos nikur, hilchos chelev. Okay, so we gave explanations that were sort of like try to understand the nebuchadnezzar without talking about the chelev aspect of it. But within the chelev aspect of it, the way the machlekes is understood, whether the fat between the 12th and 13th rib is also, how does it fit with Hilchas Chelev? So those from Ekel say there are two good reasons why that should be mutter. And in fact, first of all, it's covered up. It's in the middle of the rack of ribs. We'll see exactly what they're talking about, but it's in the middle of everything. It's in the middle of the ribs, and it's covered by the hide. It's covered in a lot of different ways, and we know that a Chelev which is covered, it's not Al HaKsalon, Chelev that's covered is mutter. Second is, we had the Teres Karim had a special drush, actually. It says, Chelev HaTefanes, Chelev that goes by that front animal, by the ribs, is mutter. So those are good reasons to think, actually, also, that the any fat that's around the 12th rib should be mutter. And those who want to be machmir will have to conjecture, they have no reason to say it, but they're just a conjecture that maybe that when the animal moves, some of this fat gets exposed, and it'll be like the parva the tuse masna, there's certain fat that the Gemara says it doesn't look like it's exposed, but when the animal moves around, it gets exposed. So they're sort of reading that into it. Maybe it doesn't say that. Maybe it doesn't say anything. It doesn't say watch, because it just says, yeah, it's pasha that's also. So that we read into that. Just bear in mind when we say this is that Rama says all the chela was in the hindquarters. The Shach says that people cut off the 13th, I have no idea why they even cut it off. All of that sounds to us like, if you cut off the 13th rib, there's not a chance you're going to find any chelev that's behind it. Yet, the Machmir here are suggesting that after we cut off the 13th rib, there's still chelev behind it. There's something that has to be gotten out. Aside from the Kuti Tekhavim, something that has to be gotten out. So again, the Mashmars of all that, it doesn't support really the Machmir. Now, lots of the people who spoke about Nikur, since the time of the Chassam Sofer, lots of people speak about it. Speak about this question of what it means. Just for some armor criminals, the Sefer Nikra Mavur, that we mentioned, Rabbi Kashitsky, he brings lots of shittas, and he defends the practice to be machmir. In contrast, they say the Nikra of the Nirvater and the Pritmarim, who speaks about the incident in Tavshin Lama Tes, which we spoke of. This is one of the things that came up in Tavshin Lama Tes. When they speak about it, they bring lots of other makaris and reasons to think, like the Mekilim, that you don't need to, that fat is completely mutter. There's also in Tarsnik of Yushalmi, and it's also one of the things that, as I mentioned, it was brought up in this question in Tarshalam Tes, and a number of older menachrim came to give edus in front of the edah haredus and told them that in Europe everybody had been doing it that way. And in fact, we have three possible shitas over here, and three ways of dealing with this question from the Nevi Yehuda. One is to say, is the Nevi Yehuda meant to answer the fat between the 12th and 13th rib, and which is valid. That's one way of looking at it. Another way is to say is, what the Chassam Sefer says is, the Nevi Yehuda said it's Asr, the Nevi Yehuda meant that it was Asr, but we don't agree with him. It's not, we don't accept that shita. And the third is like the Shiva Sian said, which was that the Nevi Yehuda never meant it in the first place. No one never dreamt to think of the fat between the 12th and 13th of Zasser, and he just meant between the 13th and beyond. Okay, so in Eretz Yisrael, they follow the stricter opinion, okay, and that's why the person came from Eretz Yisrael came to America and saw that they were not doing that, and that's why he got all upset about that. And these menachrim who were then in America, who had been menachim back in different communities in Europe before World War II, came and gave edus in front of the Eidah Haredis. It was written out, and Eidah Haredis signed off on it, that it was okay. That the American practices cannot be menachim in these parts. What are the parts that we're talking about? There's a couple of things. One is that the fat that's around the ribeye, is this round, roundish, ovalish piece of meat. A fine piece of meat that's attached to the last rib, on the 12th rib. And they take fat that's around, that's surrounding that piece of meat, saying that's the fat he was talking about. Some people take the din of like a membrane, a shiny membrane, they call it a mara kesef, between the fat and the meat. Some people take that off also. Then right next to that, right next to the ribeye is this chunk of meat, a big, large piece of meat. Right next to this is a tiny little piece of meat that's like the size of a finger, and it has fat all around it. And if you hold that the fat is also, then you have to work very fine work to get all the fat out and leave that little cute, that tiny little piece of meat there. It's like the size of like the top of a person's thumb. It's a very small piece of meat. So the people who get rid of that fat will take that whole, so they call it the tray from the finger. They just cut the whole piece off. It's just not worth it to do the detailed work to get around it. If you hold like this, they scrape off meat on the whole 12th bone. The whole bone, after the ribeye, the bone then stretches out like sort of in like a bow shape, and they cut off all the meat that's on top of that. And some people take off even the vertebrae, that's the part of the spine that's right near there, the vertebrae that's on there, they cut off a corner of that, because they say it has some connection to the meat from hunger, I believe, from the filet mignon. So they cut off that bone there also. Okay, so that all these pieces that are taken, that all this that's possibly done, is to say that that's what the Nevi Yehuda had in mind, that a person needs to take off between the 12th and the 13th rib. And In America, the minhag was always to not be makbid for this. The minhag was not to do this. And in Europe, before World War II, also not makbid. In recent years, it's been changing. Some menachrim who learned their malacha in Eretz Yisrael have had an influence on people in America. And a number of the places in America have started switching and started doing it like they do in Eretz Yisrael. But that was not our original minhag.